DHZ, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
That's all of us.
Welcome in another week, another edition of the BS and Beer podcast crew, mass communicating and broadcasting. Well, that sounds a little sexist, and with all the stuff going on, if I offended anybody by that comment. Anyway, the internet is a fire. The internet is a fire. With me to my right, Heath Elson-Son. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking more Saints and nonsense than anyone needs to know. So from Eros to Rustin to Monroe, grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're going to do 97.7 BS and Beer style. Okay, that was take number two. Y'all laughing, messing me up, man. I was rolling there for a minute.
Yeah, you were.
Listen, the internet is on fire. The Saints, there's a conspiracy. The referees are after us. Matter of fact, they literally got a referee that used to play for the Falcons, and he was obviously trying to get us. And that's people right. Are not happy about it. Matter of fact, we have a few hotline calls, the graffiti hotline.
I can't imagine.
Now, keep in mind, now, obviously, you know, 701-901-1295 will get you on the graffiti hotline and put you on the air or on the podcast, whichever version you happen to be listening to. And the thing is there's no waiting. So they're pre-recorded. People were calling, and I get notifications on my phone. They were calling after the game. Phone was blowing up. And you know these people are not happy with the way that things went down.
I don't know why not.
Well, I mean, listen.
It was a fairly contested game.
I like, you know, Tomas, look at you just being just right down the middle.
That's right. Equality.
Equality.
That's right. I have to look at it from both sides.
Yeah. And I know you're not upset at all. I know there won't be anything.
I look at it from the left side and the right side.
I know you do.
From the front side and the back side.
Easy there.
I have to report to the...
Listen. I got into the radio business because I thought I'd be able to get away with all kind of stuff now, just like if I was an actor. Yep. But I don't know. I'm going to stick to playing music because that's the last frontier where you
apparently
don't get accused of doing anything inappropriate.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, go back, play some music. Can you imagine it's only a matter of time that Mick Jagger, front page, accused of sexual harassment? No.
Yeah.
Well, I was at a concert.
75,000 times.
And I went backstage. Can you imagine how many accusers could come out against him? Or who else? Who's the other ones? Who's Elvis Presley? You know what? He's gone, but over four, like more sexual accusers than McDonald's serves hamburgers, right? It'd just be that bad.
How about Rod Stewart?
Rod Stewart? What about Stevie Wonder? No. You never know.
Well, okay, you're really getting
all right. We need to get back in here.
He wouldn't be in problems because he's blind.
Things are getting away from me. Will
honey, hold on, let me see where.
Yeah. That's a built-in excuse. Built-in excuse.
I was looking for the braille.
Trying to read the bumps.
Okay, let's get it back in line here. Things are going in the wrong direction. We need to bring it back in, man.
All
it's right. getting away from me here.
In all seriousness.
I tell you what, let's get the show started.
Go ahead.
Got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
Gentlemen, the playoffs have already started. I'm looking at the schedules for these last games, all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, the Saints have been put in a position now by losing to Atlanta. Carolina beat Minnesota.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we almost have to. Now, again, those guys could lose, but you almost have to win out.
Yeah, in order to guarantee that you don't run into a situation, you have to.
Yeah. I mean, Tomas, Carolina beats Minnesota. I didn't expect it to happen.
Shouldn't have happened.
It throws everything.
They held in check almost the entire game.
Yeah.
Gets one 62-yard run.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the game. That's it. That's what won it for him.
Yeah.
If he doesn't make that 62-yard run, and as I posted on Twitter, look, Carolina's team is all about Cam.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If he runs, they have a chance to win. If he doesn't run, they're not going to win.
Right.
And so they figured it out. And like, well, if he lasts 2 years, he lasts 2 years, we'll get another quarterback. At this point, they're not worried about having him, you know, he's not going to be like Tom Brady, you know, or Drew Brees. So, but in any case, they won.
All right. So now here's the Saints' remaining schedule, and I think most of us know we have the Jets coming into town. Then after that, Atlanta comes back to town.
Can't wait.
Then we have to go to Tampa Bay. By that time, and I said this last week, I'm sure the vans are already packed up. They all they have left is the essentials in their locker right now. You know, they're ready to go.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston already has his W's. He's ready for a snack on the way back to wherever he lives.
Yeah.
So listen, the only thing now, I don't feel there's any reason the Saints can't win out. Like I wasn't confident last week. I picked Atlanta. This week, I'm confident the Saints can beat them. We lost Kamara early in the game. If the Saints, I say if, assuming Kamara's healthy, which I've already saw reports that he's ready to go. I don't believe
he says he's ready. That means nothing at all.
Matter of fact, I'm confident we could beat the Jets without him. Matter of fact, another guy was Klein went out, and we were talking about this on Sunday, Heath.
Yeah.
I think that Manti Te'o, he's actually been kind of an unsung hero.
He played really well.
He doesn't have the skills, the all-around linebacking skills that Klein has. He's not as fast. He's not as good a coverage guy. But he's a better run defender, and I think against the Jets that he'll be just fine. Our defense will be just fine. Matter of fact, I'm sure we won't have Lattimore sucking down air on the sideline.
Oxygen, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, the guy was out for several weeks, and it's an ankle. It's not like he hurt his elbow.
Now, you know that wasn't the reason he was sucking oxygen, right? He was sick.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, I found that I can't remember where I read it, something about
somewhere in the deep internet. What's that other part of the internet called? The dark web. You found that? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That he actually had some kind of bronchial thing going on. That's why he was sucking so much oxygen.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't just because of his ankle.
Well,
I haven't been able to confirm it. Like I said, I found it, and I was like, really? You know? So, but.
Either way. I assume, now that I know that, you don't know what's going to happen. But the point is that I assumed he went in, and he was, because he couldn't run.
He was out of shape,
which is understandable. I don't want to sound like I'm picking on a guy. But I will tell you, too, that I think he got his real first lesson. It was the first game that he didn't look like he was just overpowering whoever he was lined up against. He made his plays. He hung in there. So
yeah.
I want to give him his credit. But they had plenty of times where you could just see that it wasn't a physical mismatch where he's accustomed to so far this season. Matter of fact, the first play of at least the first pass play of the game, it might have been the first play of the game, he breaks up a pass and he got penalized for it. There was the first of several calls that were just very questionable, but that one right there, I don't know how you don't let that. I didn't see anything in that play, and I try not to be a homer. Matter of fact, because of the radio show, I tend to try to lean to being more reasonable and assuming that. To me, I didn't see anything there. So there's a lot of stuff. But getting back to the schedule, you know, Minnesota, I don't see them losing. They go on to Cincinnati. Now, again, Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers coming back.
Yeah.
He hasn't played in a while, so how will that be? And then Chicago. So I don't see Minnesota losing. Philadelphia. Now, that's big news. Carson Wentz injured, out for the season.
ACL.
They're going to be a little bit different team, and we need to dig into that a little bit because we're going to spend some time now. It's now when we have to start looking at the big picture. We really look at the Saints very closely, but now all this stuff affects the Saints now. It used to be kind of we look at the NFC South. Now the entire league.
Yeah.
Is something that we got to keep an eye on these schedules. So we're going to have more of that when we come in. Of course, we got John Hendricks coming up. We're going to have some game preview, the good, the bad, the ugly. We're going to have a Tomas rant, action-packed show, broadcasting. Oh, I'm sorry, I said it again. I'm going to go with mass communicating.
Yeah.
Here from the SEC Sports Pub. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Hey, y'all ready to boogie down? Uh-huh. It's time for the stretch run. My new phrase, we're mass communicating and we're people casting now, okay?
We're
going to have to get more politically correct.
Else, so yeah, we're not. But you get rid of that one, too.
Can't call them broads anymore.
Can't call them broads anymore. They get upset. That's a thing. And, like, whenever
communicate in the bathroom? I just was wondering.
I don't even know. Let's redirect the show. I'm going to talk to Heath about some stuff. You sit over there and be quiet. Anyway, hey, it's 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. The Saints drop a heartbreaker. Yeah. That's the only way I could put it. Maybe it's because I feel like every game outside of Washington, help me out here, we've either won it by a pretty big margin or lost it by a pretty big margin. So I don't know if we really know how to react to a close loss.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we beat Washington on the last second, and I mean, people are upset. The fans are upset. I don't know.
Now, a lot of people, because of fans are upset, a lot of people called you, didn't they?
Yeah, well, we got some. You want to get one of those?
I was wondering, what's that number again?
Oh, the number, 701-901-1295. I'll tell you what, let's just jump right into it, Tomas. Let's do it.
Hey, guys, Joe Groove here.
Joe Groove tonight.
After taking a few days to reflect and calm down a little bit, I have a new perspective.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. I'm still very bitter and upset and angry about what happened during that game. The penalties that were called consistently and only against the Saints were ridiculous. Some were... A few were legit, but some of the pass interference, not pass interference, roughing the passer, up to the lineman being on the line for the field goal, just all ridiculous and sickening. And also sickening to know we lost how many players in the game? Six, seven, including Kamara in the first drive. All that, and the Saints still had a chance to win the game, and Breeze throws a very poor pass. And the Falcons, all on social media, like, you guys had a chance to win, and you suck, and, just delving deep into that after the game really got me even more irritated. Whatever, let's take care of business the rest of the way, and now with the Eagles about Carson Wentz, maybe we can sneak up in there, but more likely, probably not. Let's just make the playoffs. All right, who that?
Sneak up in there. That's like how Heath likes to do it. Just sneak up in there.
That's right.
Listen.
Never let him see you come.
Wait, I think that's, again, what got a lot of people in trouble. So that might have been with, which is no Jello Pudding Pops. That's how he got in trouble.
Being him, yeah.
Yeah. So there's so much there to discuss. Where do we start? Breeze.
Well,
that pass was... I mean, I don't know, man. It's just indefensible.
So, like you said, this game was really frustrating because, you know, oftentimes the game either has a lot of good in it or it has a lot of bad in it when we lose. This game actually had a lot of both in it.
Right.
And so you're kind of all over the map, you know, like he said, losing all the players. You got the terrible calls. You got all these things going on. But in the end, the Saints have a chance to win, and the Hall of Famer, the future Hall of Famer,
first ballot?
Yeah, really makes a poor play that ultimately wound up, you know.
I mean, it's just not a play, whether you're a first ballot Hall of Famer or just a veteran quarterback. It's
right.
Just not a play, especially considering, Tomas, it was second down. Listen, it wasn't there. I've complained about this enough, I feel like, but it's pretty much been to you guys, so I'm going to complain to everybody else. In that instance, what the quarterback is looking for is to get the linebacker to turn his back to the ball and just put the ball over his head and tight end or whatever receiver's running that, you know, that, I don't know, seam route or going up the – he can catch it, and it's hard to defend. Jones never turned around. He was looking at Breeze the entire way, and at no point was there anything, even a facsimile of an open receiver. He should have threw it out of bounds, and let's run another play.
Yeah,
it was just a poor decision. And the sad thing is that, man, he played so well getting us to that point.
Right.
So that whole drive, it was just Breeze, 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 and it looked great. Just precision passing. And Tomas, at the end, just really bad throw.
Well, a couple of things to look at there. First one that came into my mind upon reflecting on this was, here is an example of Mickey Loomis doing the wrong thing. I know you're surprised. I'm talking about Mickey Lewis, right? Yeah. Because Hill signed an offer with the Chicago Bears. Now, if you remember, that was when Chicago took Mickey Loomis's right-hand guy, Pace, and signed him as their GM. And that was going to be one of his first signings, was getting Hill as a tight end for Chicago. So I think that Loomis should have let him go.
Well,
and instead,
I mean,
Loomis...
I don't know where this is Josh Hill's fault.
Well,
I mean,
hold on now. The reason is because Josh Hill is a good blocking tight end. Josh Hill is a fair receiving tight end. But in this play that you're calling, even if the tight end, even if the linebacker turns his back to Breeze, I don't have the kind of faith that you do.
You know, no. Easy there, easy there. Matter of fact, the first thing I said on Twitter is, in these situations,
yes,
you think players, not plays. And we went out throwing the ball to Josh Hill. Right.
And that's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, so I agree with you.
I believe that this is an example why I'm so happy that we have Ireland in the fold, because I don't think that Ireland would have said, yeah, let's match that contract.
Yeah.
You see? And then we wouldn't be in a situation.
I don't disagree with that, but in this particular case, we never had a chance to find out because the ball should have never left his hand.
Well, that's true, too. I would have never called that play.
That's the thing. It's like, if we want to talk about Josh Hill, we can make that a segment, but this has nothing to do with it. Okay, if you want to make an argument that maybe a better tight end would have gotten more open to at least make Jones,
make
Jones have to think about it instead of just jump up there and catch it, okay, we can make that argument. But here's the thing. He's not. And what he is a good all-around tight end. I don't know if good's even. He's a solid, decent number two tight end.
He's
a decent blocker.
And a good blocker.
Right.
Exactly.
So the point is at no point
warm body.
Anything. See, I think he's better than a warm body. But having said that, in that situation.
How much better is he than Hooman?
I mean, I think Hooman's probably a better blocker, but he's a better receiver. So the point is, neither one of them should have been a consideration.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, so
exactly. Is
it a situation where maybe Drew Brees was trying to outthink, you know, you,
I think
you say,
that's
look,
exactly what it was.
You know, like, hey, they're going to be doubling Thomas. They're going to stop Ingram out of the backfield, although they didn't. That was a big complaint, is that a second later and Ingram's pretty wide open, not for a touchdown, but he would have gotten
close.
The point is, it would have been a play at the goal line, and then it would have been third and one.
And it was only second down. That's the biggest point. It wasn't the last play of the game that the Saints had.
Right.
It was second down, and there was time left.
And here's another thing that, and I would completely agree with this, even if we lost the game, is I think the Saints were going for it on fourth down no matter what. I think it was a four down situation. The Saints' defense was gassed. I don't think that the Saints wanted to put Atlanta and those receivers on the field against the Saints' defense at that point, who, to my amazement, and I want to give them all a pat on the back, they went on a 70-yard, and this is Atlanta, to take the lead. They went on a 70-yard, 11-play drive, and the Saints held them to a field goal.
Field goal,
yeah. Yep.
And kudos to them. They were worn out, short week, and they did it. They put us in a position to be able to be in that position. And I think it would have been the right call to go four downs. And if it's fourth down, as long as it's not fourth down and you got a holding call and it's fourth and 15 or whatever. But if they're within, you know, say the 4-yard line, I say you go for the win and go home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Lose and go home.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's one of those situations where I think that it was just, I don't know what else to harp on. What else did Joe Groove bring up that we should discuss?
You know, we talk about the penalties, but I think we're going to do a whole
segment
on that
later. I think that's going to be an underlying
because I think there's something about a rant that's going to be covering.
Okay, so we won't steal your thunder. Steal your thunder. Yeah. What we'll do is move right into the good, the bad, and the ugly, and let's get that rolling.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
All right, so anyway, this is a week, you already kind of brought it up, Heath, a week where there's a lot of good things.
Yeah.
And some bad things, too. So I guess we're going to start off with the good. Give me your first thoughts.
Well, I mean, the good for me, I think clearly was the guts of this team, the resilience.
You stole Tomas's heat. Yeah, go ahead, man.
All right.
Well, I mean, you know, watching this game, to me, that was clearly the best thing to come out is – all of the injuries they had, all the penalties, the adversity, this, that, and the other, and the team hung in there, had a chance to win. Everybody that was remaining left standing on the field played as hard as they could play. I mean, you know, I can't really say enough. I was extremely proud of the team, the way they played.
Absolutely.
Despite all of it.
I completely agree. And I would dare say championship-type mentality,
toughness.
Mental, you know, the whole thing. You really have to like that. And we always talk about the young players on the team and how will they respond in different situations. That said a lot.
Absolutely.
All right, Tomas?
So I guess I'm going to say my good then is going to be that the way in which the defensive backfield played in this game, because we had Lattimore back, but he was still not 100% with that ankle. And as I said, I found an article that talked about how he had some kind of other issue going on as well. So he played better than I think anybody expected him to play coming back. Then you had the safeties that were playing, weren't playing in their usual positions. Klein goes out, so now they have to play a sort of a three safety, I don't know what you would want to call it, some kind of other hybrid defensive backfield. So to me, I thought that the good was the way in which our corners stepped it up and our safeties stepped it up. So because you're playing against, I mean, I didn't hear Gabriel's name almost. Did you hear Gabriel's name at night?
No, I don't think.
You know? No.
So, Sanu?
Sanu had the touchdown against Sterling Moore. But generally speaking,
you know,
he didn't have a great game.
And Julio Jones, he was kind of bent out of shape.
It seemed like Atlanta made a point, and I hear a lot of the talking heads talking about how he didn't have this and didn't do that. And I'm not talking about the Saints, but that he had been held in check. I think it was obvious to me that they made an effort to get him the ball.
Yes.
So,
yeah. But still, even making an effort to get him the ball.
No.
I didn't think his impact was that great.
Listen, he's one of maybe a top 10 player in the entire league as far as skill position goes. Listen, he is a tough guy to deal with.
Yeah. And I think he was
And he's going to get his more times than not. Because all these times, like last year, they were talking about, well, Crawley held him to one catch. I would almost guarantee you that it was because they didn't make an effort. There's no way in my military mind you can convince me that it just Crawley shut him down. Crawley's a good ball player, and this was last year when he wasn't as developed.
Yeah.
They just didn't make an effort to go to him, and they probably didn't need to. And think about this. Atlanta was rolling over everybody, including us. Why are you going to get the guy the ball in a situation you might get hurt? Like, yeah, you know what, you take the day off. We'll get the ball over to these guys. So the point is that you put on Lattimore on him. And to me, I thought that was a learning opportunity for Lattimore, who gets to see what it's like to play against that level of receiver, because I don't really feel like he's had to go up against that. And I thought he got beat, but I thought he acquitted himself very well.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's why I say I think that would be my good right there.
All right. Well, to me, I'm just going to go with the defense in general, and I kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, if not already talked about it. The defense played with heart and was resilient, and the fact that the offense did not sustain drives, and coming off a short week and undermanned, and players coming back like Lattimore, who come back off an injury, who weren't 100%, and I said, Lattimore, you got Williams there at safety, who also came back from an injury.
Yeah.
I thought these guys, I was just so very proud of them, and when they came up with that stop to Atlanta kick the field goal to go up, if they score a touchdown there, changes everything.
Right.
They put us in a position to be able to win that game, and it just shows you against, on the road, against a very good offense, against some of the best receivers in the league, that our defense is for real. I figured out, people say they figured out they were real. I have still had some concerns in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
And now I no longer have those concerns. I feel like this is a legitimate top 10 or so defense. And I think that they acquitted themselves very well, not only in their play, but in their heart that they showed.
Yeah.
So, all right, Heath, give us your bad.
Well, my bad is going to be at the end of the first half, the field goal that wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because at the end of the game, that 3 points really loomed large.
It did. And we were saying that. And then you kept saying it right away.
Yeah, about it haunting you all game. Yeah. How many times do you see a field goal that comes off, kind of like the missed extra point, how often that comes into play?
It's so funny.
When you think one little point, right?
How can it
But at the end of the game, the 3 points, and then, you know, there's so much, there's been so much talk around this play in particular, because whether there was a whistle or there wasn't a whistle, whether the time should have been run off the clock, whether we should have still had time, we had a time, all these different things, you know, surrounding the play.
Right. Well, okay, so the first thing that people were upset about, and we kind of had a little pregame meeting to talk about this. First of all, people were upset because there was a timeout left, and that it, but here's the situation. It was not a runoff situation. The referees, and I watched the video just less than an hour ago, when the ball went through the uprights, there was no time left on the clock. Right. So at the end of the day, if it's not a penalty against the defense, then you don't get to run another play. The play, the time had expired.
Right.
It was not a dead ball penalty.
Right.
So it was a situation where you're not going to get another play on that, and it really costs us because we're in a situation where that 3 points – but, hey, listen, the positive, Atlanta didn't score a field goal. Anyway, 97.7, BS and Beer Podcast. Don't go anywhere. We come back. We have John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew taking the ass out of harassment for political purpose reasons. I'm Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Listen, I don't always do a good enough job of spreading our contact information, so here's a shot at it. If you want to email us, it's bsandbeer@icloud.com, or, and we love when you call the graffiti hotline, 701-901-1295. What's really great about it, you get to be on the show. Everyone hears your opinion and your thoughts, but you don't have to wait in line. There's no producer. There's no, you just leave a message, whatever your thoughts are, and then we'll talk about it. And what has become my favorite, Twitter. You can contact me, get in touch with me, follow me, Saints BS. I love talking Saints football on Twitter. So if you're not on Twitter, go out and figure it out and discover it, because it's a pretty cool thing. Anyway, as usual, my man, John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles, jumps on the graffiti hotline with us, talk a little Saints football. So, John, the thing that people are talking about is the officiating in the game. That seems to be the hot topic. We discussed it quite a bit on the show. Why don't you give me your thoughts on what you think was going on with the calls and the officiating last week against Atlanta?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, obviously being there up in the press box, I was sitting next to a couple of guys, and it got to the point where we were just basically saying, oh, the Saints did something and there's not a penalty. What is this craziness? And, look, I mean, you hate to say that there were some calls that did definitely went against the Saints. You know, some questionable officiating overall. And unfortunately, you know, in situations like that, I guess you got to figure out, you know, how to be better and to kind of really just kind of flush out that white noise, if you will, and just overcome. I mean, I think the injuries were maybe a little bit bigger of an issue there for the Saints, but at the same time, you know, you got the helmet to Alvin Kamara, you know, a big hit on Ted Ginn, which is perfectly legal. But, you know, just all this type of things that just spell a recipe for a loss, and it's just a shame to see it.
Yeah, I agree. And despite all of the – again, I want to say that despite all the calls, there were quite a bit. I mean, they show the replays, and it was – yeah, it was a good call. It's just statistically, you don't see the imbalance very often, if at all. And matter of fact, what was it, 20 years that no team has gotten at nine? I think the record was 10, but the Saints got nine or gave up nine first downs because of penalties.
Yeah, I mean, it was, again, questionable officiating without a doubt. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I mean, when you look at how this game played out, you know, just to have those different types of calls go against you when, you know, some were legitimate, some weren't. You know, Sheldon Rankin's getting a roughing passer call was not —
that was a bad call.
That was really iffy, you know what I mean? And I've seen quarterbacks and defenders called for way more, way less, I guess, if you will, just the nature of the beast. But, you know, obviously you'd be remiss without saying that, you know, a former Falcons player was right there on some of those plays, too. And I don't know, it just leaves a salty, bad taste in your mouth. Sean Payton was pissed after the game. Players were pissed. That was a game they could have won, and they should have won.
Absolutely. Now, despite all of these calls, the Saints were let's say, a play away from winning the game. Drew Brees makes a very uncharacteristic bad throw to Hill, who wasn't even close to being open. It was a discouraging play, but the encouraging part is on the road, short week, despite all the calls, the Saints were in position to win if we want to try to put a positive spin on it.
Yeah, and, you know, that's some of the things that bothers me a little bit is when you go through the checkdowns, when you look at it, Josh Hill is not your top option at all. You know, just throwing into that kind of coverage, I guess, you know, maybe Brees didn't see it or whatever the case may have been, but that wouldn't have figured to be the right call there. You had plenty of time on the clock. You didn't have to force anything that went into the end zone. You could have ran it a little bit more. I mean, shoot, all you needed was a field goal to tie it. So, you know, it's just one of those bad beats. And, you know, given how this all played out, look, I'm more interested to see how they rebound in the rematch. But obviously you got the Jets in front of you first. You got to take care of them.
We're apparently 16-point favorites to the Jets. They have Petty, a young, I believe, second-year quarterback who's going to be starting because their starter broke his hand. I don't think that – I hope the Saints don't go into this overlooking the Jets. Having said that, I don't know if you could really ask for a better tune-up game to get yourself healthy before you get right back into the mix of things with Atlanta coming into town the following week.
Yeah, I mean, you're already going to be without Trey Hendrickson, ankle injury, and you're probably going to be without A.J. Klein because of that groin injury. So already two big starters on defense that you have to worry about not having. And then Alvin Kamara, obviously, huge concern because he suffered a concussion in that game. You know, but at the same time, he's had extra days to recover. He said he's going to play on Sunday. That's the anticipation. Of course, we'll see when the injury reports start dropping. You know, don't be surprised if he's on a limited basis because of the league's concussion protocol. But at the same time, being that, you know, you're coming off a bad loss like that, obviously, this Saints team, I feel they've got the better makeup than years before where they're not just going to lay down. They're going to come back with a vengeance. They're going to look to, I don't want to say run it up or take their frustrations out on the Jets, but I think that's what's going to happen. And you got Bryce Petty, who they've got some film on, Sean Payton said, and look, they're going to do what they need to defensively. I thought the Saints played a pretty good defensive game last week. But, you know, I think the bigger concern here is that offense has got to find ways to put points up on the board.
Well, one of the things that I thought going into the Atlanta game, especially because Mark Ingram had the toe injury and was limited during the week, is I kind of felt like the Saints were in position to make Alvin Kamara the prime focus of their offense, let Ingram take a week off, and I don't mean totally off, I just mean where he would get less work and really showcase Alvin Kamara. And when Alvin Kamara went out of the game on the first series, now the Saints kind of looked around and they had to kind of figure out a way to implement a new offense because they had designed so much of the offense around Alvin Kamara. Now, a lot of that is my speculation, but I truly believe that was the case. And based on the first drive where he got the ball almost every play, I thought the Saints were going to try to really focus on him during that game.
Yeah, no, I would agree, too, because, I mean, Kamara is a mismatch for a lot of people. And, you know, look, the only way you take him out of the game is knock him out as far as the injury goes. And, unfortunately, that's what happened. And, look, you know, once that happened, you're down to Mark Ingram and Trey Edmonds. Those are your two running back options. That's it. Because they didn't have Jonathan Williams dressed. And I'd be shocked if he wouldn't be dressed this week just because, you know, Ingram went down later and for a brief moment, and you're down to Trey Edmonds. So, look, I feel that, you know, a lot of that game plan, especially what you'll see in the rematch, assuming that everything stays, you know, the norm, that Alvin Kamara is going to get a heavy dose against Atlanta in the rematch, and I would expect him to come out on top this time.
You mentioned Hendrickson, who is not even a starter, who's the starter, who the backup to Alex Okafor. He went out of the game with what seemed to be an ankle injury, and it seemed to me that Atlanta went right after him. And while I thought Kakaha performed admirably, he had some pressures, I still, when you're talking about the run game, I think that we suffered from those losses on the defensive line, and I'm really curious what you would think the Saints are going to do to try to solve that problem, because that's going to be an issue going forward if they can't stop the run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Alex Okafor obviously has proven his weight and gold a little bit with all these injuries and such. And look, now it's Haloi Kakaha, a guy that, you know, at the beginning of the year didn't see much playing time, got I don't want to say benched, but healthy and active, subject of all the trade rumors, and now he finds himself in a spot where now he can be the guy. He can start, and, you know, for a guy who's a former second-round pick, you got to expect him to really step up here, and it's going to be his opportunity to shine. I would expect Al-Kadim Muhammad, obviously, to play more or actually be dressed for this game. And then, you know, obviously they go to the free agency to sign a veteran pass rusher and Johnson, and, you know, we'll see what happens there. But, look, now suddenly this defense, the worst thing that could happen at this time of the year is you're starting to lose a lot more players to injury. And, you know, you just hope that doesn't bite them, assuming that you get into the playoffs now, because they can't clinch this week.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm talking to John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, thank you so much for coming in. I always appreciate your input, and it's some great insight. And not to overlook the Jets, because, you know, they've had their moments where they've been a pesky team, although I'm not really sure that they're going to be able to have the same kind of impact with Petty as their quarterback as they have in the past this year. But having said that, I'm really excited about talking to you. We're going to have to dig deep into the Atlanta game. They come into New Orleans, and I think that game is pretty much going to determine the NFC South. So it's going to be a huge game, and I can't wait to get your input on it.
Absolutely. No, I feel you. And look, we're going to see a lot of them. Obviously, they got Monday night. They're going to play against the Bucs. So it'll be interesting to see how we get a little bit closer look at them. But I think they're riding high right now, but they got to keep winning.
All right, John, thank you so much for coming in. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All righty, bud. Thanks.
All right. That's John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. He comes in and talks to us every week, not just the Atlanta-Tampa Bay game, because quite frankly, I don't think Tampa Bay has a shot. I think I mentioned it before. I think they loaded up the trucks and they ready to hit vacation time. I don't think Atlanta is going to have much trouble getting rid of Tampa Bay. But a couple of other good games. The return of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, and Green Bay's going to Carolina. Now, look, that would be huge, not only for my fantasy team, but more importantly to you guys. If Green Bay can go into Carolina and beat Carolina, then all of a sudden there's a lot less pressure, and the big game for the NFC South will be Atlanta, which, quite frankly, I think it's going to be anyway. Another big game that we got to keep an eye on, the LA Rams going to Seattle. And the reason I say this could mean the difference between the fourth or third seed. Now, neither one is a first-round bye, but it does leave the door open in the event something crazy happens and the Saints could end up in an NFC Championship game at home. So, at least, you know, hey, any advantage we can get, the better for the Saints. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. I'm Dave Romero. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting this thing cranked up.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Now here we go. He said something about a dog chasing the cat. It's only a matter of time that they're going to get him.
Yeah.
For that, what is it? I don't know what it's called. I don't say the right. What's the right phrase? The sexual
harassment.
Harassment. Dog chasing the cat. You know
now,
what
you
he
know,
meant
they,
by that.
They no longer pronounce it that way, because that's a problem too.
Okay.
Even though the correct pronunciation is harassment.
Oh, harassment.
Now they don't say
it's
that
harassment.
Anymore.
Oh,
now it's harassment.
Harassment.
That's right.
Because you don't want to get that.
Because when you're looking at what her ass meant, then you know what it means.
I knew he was going there with it. Hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio.
Guilty of sexual misconduct.
Sports Talk 97.7, guilty as charged. Hey, thanks to John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. When we left off, Heath did his bad. Tomas, I'd be remiss if I didn't let you do your bad. Then it would turn into a rant, and it'd take even more time.
My rant is different than my bad.
So I'm going to let you go ahead and get yours.
I'll make my bad nice and short.
All right.
Okay, here it is. Just like the receivers we have, nice and short. So this is my bad. My bad is that, you know, for so many games, I complimented the Saints' coaching staff for making adjustments at halftime. Now, in this game, I didn't see. I thought we could better utilize our wide receivers. I didn't see us utilize them in what I believe would have been a more positive way. Now, again, I give Ginn all props in the world. That dude caught the ball, was tattooed in his ribs.
Oh, man, yeah. That was awesome.
Went off the field, yeah. And I thought, oh, man, he's done for the game.
Done. Yeah.
Two plays later, he's back in. And, again, it's that team mentality that this team really has. They're tough.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to go back in for my brothers.
Just to even hold on to the ball in it.
Yes, no, exactly right.
Listen, all we heard and even thought, and I include myself, is that he's a fast receiver, can't catch the ball, and knock on wood, he has been – he's been tough.
Pretty solid.
He's caught the ball.
Yeah.
I don't even recall any. I mean, I have confidence in him. You know, listen, I think that he showed a lot. That was a – it wasn't like it was fourth down. But he caught the ball, took the hit, held on to the ball. Very proud of him.
But this is what I'm saying. If we're going to target Hill at the end, Snead's been a no one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, I would have much rather seen some play that would have worked Snead and Ginn to try to get something over there as opposed to Hill down the middle.
Absolutely.
And even Breeze himself said in an interview, I shouldn't have taken that kind of a chance.
Right. And, so, and you know what? Listen, where is and we talked about this earlier, but where is Hill in the pecking order? And it's definitely below Ted Ginn Jr.
Has so, to be.
My guess is that the Saints saw something during the game. There was a reason that they thought
it would.
They could sneak Hill up the middle like that and complete that play.
I agree.
You know, it had to be. Sean Payton had to see something that led him to believe that was going to throw him off. And
if he was going to do that, I would have rather him thrown the ball to one a day plus.
Right.
Five.
Well, the problem is when Sean Payton sends the play in, even if he thinks something like that can work, he trusts Drew Brees not to execute the play
right.
when
right.
it's not there.
Right.
And
right.
that didn't happen.
Right.
You know, two things come to my mind. First is we make jokes. Brandon Coleman, we call him one a day.
Yeah.
I give him total props now, man.
No, he's turned into a solid player.
Yes.
But there is obviously, to me, some in the game plan that the Saints are like, look, we got to get him one ball early. And it maybe because he yeah. blocks a lot and you say, man, look, we're going to throw him a bone,
yeah.
exactly.
get him a play, and
exactly.
then he's going to keep him engaged in the game plan.
Right. Right.
And then every once in a while later in the game, they're like, he's just open and Drew throws him the ball because the guy never – catches more than two passes.
That's it.
And generally it's one. And it's like, you know, last year we noticed? You notice he catches one ball a
yeah.
day? He's one a day, one a day. And next
yeah.
thing it turned into
now,
then,
you
one
what,
a day plus iron.
This week he went up and plucked
a ball,
high pass
yeah.
out of the air like
yes.
you expect the tall
yes.
receiver to do.
Yeah.
I mean, he really looked the part on that play.
He did. Yeah. And you know what? Listen, I've been the first to say I've never been a fan of his. Not that I didn't want to see him develop. It's just I think he too many fans are talking him up like he – oh. And really, I just didn't see it. Now, listen, his contributions to the team are important. Yes. Now, money-wise, I don't know how important it is because I do believe he's coming up for a contract.
Yeah.
If maybe he has one more year, I'll have to look that up. Next thing that I wanted to talk about real quick was you mentioned how Ginn came out of the game. Do you think that maybe he went back in the game is because he couldn't get an appointment for the tent? They were
yeah.
backed up. You know, they were like, listen,
yeah.
we got something open.
Yeah, we can see you yeah. in the next quarter.
Early first quarter, or would you prefer late in the quarter? You know,
yeah,
like,
what's good for you?
Yeah, what's good for you? You know, we can fit you in if
yeah.
it's something urgent. But,
it was a real
you just got hit in the ribs real quick.
Then, yeah.
Listen, we're not going to be able to get you in for a
yeah,
little while
because
we got a guy over here with a knee. Vaccaro couldn't get in the tent because it was already occupied. I mean, it was a mass unit out there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, proud of him. For that catch,
yeah.
being tough, my bad. I have to say, and listen, the bad's on the heels of a great play. I don't know if it's great, right place, right time play, but Williams, the safety, makes an interception in the end zone, and for whatever reason, decides to run it out to the 3 or 4 yard line.
Yeah,
and you know, it's
a rookie mistake.
Yeah,
that's
where I was going with it, Tomas. That's a good observation because these are the little things that you forget. That they're rookies.
Yeah, right.
They make these good plays. They do these things. And then when they make these silly little mistakes, and I haven't seen a bunch of them, but that was one that was obvious. What were you thinking? He got the interception, got excited, got pumped up, and took off running.
Yeah.
And obviously he got knocked out of bounds. And there were all kind of bodies there. I looked at the all 22. There was no reason to believe that unless you ran through two or three guys that you were going to get anything out of it. A smart veteran falls down on the ground, takes a knee. You get the ball at the 20. Now, I said during that part, I'm like, we have to flip the field now because we can't turn a drive-killing, touchdown-killing drive into us giving them the ball back at our 45-yard line and put them right back in the position. We did move the ball just enough so that when we punted it, we flipped the field. If I'm not mistaken, that was the drive where they actually – we got a good punt, and then they got a hold, and we got them back all the way to the 25-yard line. Yes. So that was a huge play to get us out of the hole. But my bad, Williams, little rookie mistake, running the ball after a great play. You can't compound it by making a mistake
I'm
like
sure
that.
They talked about it in the film room.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, so we got the ugly – do we even need to go on? I think we're all in agreement
that
Drew Brees interception.
So
we could just sit here and complain some more about it.
Yeah, we've already done that.
It's heart-wrenching. We've talked about it enough. But anyway, listen, call the hotline, 701-901-1295. You can hit us up on Twitter. Saints BS is mine. Tomas?
BS and beer, who dat?
Who dat? Heath?
Got nothing BS.
Interact with us. We love to talk to you guys. Matter of fact, let's take another graffiti hotline call.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's the Cali Cajun. I'm trying something a little different this week. I'm going to do a pregame report, see how right I am going forward. So this is the first game of the season I'm going to be at. I'm going to find New Orleans for this one. So I'm going to say that I'm disappointed with how the offense came out. We came out a little bit flat. I'm surprised that we scored so few points and left New York in there a little bit longer than we needed to. I am surprised by the low-scoring game that I am expecting to have happen. And I hope that our offense can rebound a little bit for our big game against Atlanta. Let's see how right I was. See you guys.
That's Greg. He's a friend of the show, recently married, and he's going in a different direction. Now he's giving us a pre-game idea of what he thinks going to happen with the Jets. Now, here's the thing. I don't know. I kind of agree with you, and I can see that maybe there might be a little bit of a letdown. I could see why anybody might think that. Having said that, I feel a little bit more confident about this Saints team at home coming off of the heels of a disappointing loss. I think that we'll see something different. Craig, we might have to wager a beer on it or something. I think the Saints are going to come out and they're going to play tough, and I think they'll dismantle the Jets, who are going to be playing a young quarterback who so far hasn't really demonstrated the ability to be successful in the league. Our defense, especially coverage, is outstanding. I think that after playing Atlanta and that group of receivers, now you have to defend the Jets with a young quarterback in Petty, again, who hasn't really proven anything. I think the Saints are up for the challenge, and I think that they're going to take care of business. The Saints look like they're about 15-point favorites, so even the boys in Vegas are optimistic. Anyway, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew here live at the SEC Sports Pub. Sports Talk Radio 97.7.
Blowtorch.
The Blowtorch. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two, right around the corner. Hey, don't forget to download and listen to Hour number two. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to like us, friend us, follow us, and let the rest of the world know that we're out here. We appreciate you guys.